Nectar of Devotion, Chapter 40, Reverential Devotion of Sons and Other Subordinates. True reverential devotion is exhibited by persons who think themselves subordinate to Krishna and by persons who think themselves sons of Krishna. The best examples of this subordination are Sarana, Gada, and Subhadra. They were all members of the Yadu dynasty, and they always used to think themselves protected by Krishna. Similarly, Krishna's sons such as Pradyumna, Charudeshna, and Samba felt the same way. Krishna had many sons in Dwaraka. Krishna begot 10 sons by each of his 16,108 queens, and all of these sons, headed by Pradyumna, Charudeshna, and Samba, used to think of themselves always protected by Krishna. When Krishna's sons dined with him, they would sometimes open their mouths for Krishna to feed them. Sometimes, when Krishna would pat one of his sons, the son would sit on Krishna's lap. And while Krishna was blessing the son's head by smelling it, the others would shed tears, thinking how many pious activities he must have performed in his previous life. And out of Krishna's many sons, Pradyumna, the son of Krishna's chief queen Rukmini, is considered the leader. Pradyumna's bodily features resemble Krishna's bodily features exactly. Therefore, pure devotees of Krishna glorify Pradyumna because he is so fortunate. As it is said, like father, like son. There is a description in the Harivamsa of Pradyumna's activities when he kidnapped Prabhavati. Pradyumna addressed Prabhavati at that time. "My dear Prabhavati, just look at the head of our family, Sri Krishna. For he is Vishnu himself, the supreme driver of Garuda, and Krishna is our supreme master. And because we have become so proud and confident of Krishna's protecting us, we sometimes do not even care about fighting with Tripurari, Lord Shiva." There are two kinds of devotees engaged in devotional service with awe and veneration, namely the Lord's subordinates and his sons. The servitors in the abode of Dwaraka always worship Krishna as the most respectable and revered personality of Godhead. They are captivated by Krishna because of Krishna's super excellent opulences. And those members who always thought themselves protected by Krishna could readily convert their conviction into practical demonstration because it was sometimes found that the sons of Krishna acted very unlawfully in various places, but were nonetheless given full protection by Krishna and Balaram. Even Balaram, the elder brother of Krishna, sometimes unknowingly offered respect to Krishna. Once, when Krishna came before Lord Balaram, Krishna was anxious to offer respects to his elder brother. But at that time, Balaram's club was lowered down upon Krishna's lotus feet. In other words, the club in Balaram's hand offered its own respects to Krishna. These feelings of subordination, as explained above, are sometimes manifest as anubhav. When demigods from the heavenly planets came to Sri Krishna, all of Krishna's sons followed them, and Lord Brahma sprinkled water from his kamandalu upon them. And when the demigods came before Krishna, the sons, instead of sitting on golden chairs, sat down on the floor, which was covered with deerskin. Sometimes the behavior of Krishna's sons appears similar to the behavior of Krishna's personal servants. For example, the sons would offer obeisances, they were silent, submissive, and gentle, and they were always ready to carry out Krishna's orders, even at the risk of life. When present before Krishna, they bow down on the ground. They were very silent and steady, and they used to restrain coughing and laughing before the Lord. Also, they never discussed Krishna's pastimes in conjugal love. In other words, devotees who are engaged in reverential devotional service should not discuss the conjugal loving affairs of Krishna. And no one should claim his or her eternal relationship with Krishna unless one is actually liberated. For in the conditioned state of life, devotees have to execute their prescribed duties as recommended in the codes of devotional service. When one is mature in devotional service and is actually a self-realized soul, then he or she can know one's own eternal relationship with Krishna. Therefore, one should not artificially try to establish some relationship. For in the premature stage, it is sometimes found that a lusty conditioned person will artificially try to establish some relationship with Krishna in conjugal love. And the result of this is that one becomes prakriti sahajiya, or one who takes everything very cheaply. Although such persons may be very anxious to establish a relationship with Krishna in conjugal love, their conditioned life in the material world is still most abominable. When a person is actually established in his or her relationship with Krishna, such a person can no longer act on the material plane, and one's personal character cannot be criticized. On one occasion, when Cupid came to visit Lord Krishna, some devotee addressed Cupid, "My dear Kamadev, because you have been so fortunate as to have placed your eyesight upon the lotus feet of Krishna, the drops of perspiration on your body have become frozen, and they resemble kantaki fruits." The kantaki is a kind of small fruit found in thorny bushes. These are signs of ecstasy and veneration for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the princes of the Yadu dynasty heard the vibration of Krishna's Panchajanya conch shell, the hairs on their bodies immediately stood up in ecstatic jubilation. It seemed at that time that all the hairs on the bodies of the princes were dancing in ecstasy. In addition to jubilation, there are sometimes symptoms of disappointment. Pradyumna once addressed Samba with these words, "My dear Samba, you are such a glorified personality, and I have seen that once when you were playing on the ground, your body became covered with dust, and yet our father, Lord Krishna, still took you upon his lap. But I am so unfortunate that I could never get such love from our father." This statement is an example of disappointment in love. To regard Krishna as one superior is called reverential feeling, and when, in addition to this, a devotee feels that Krishna is one's protector, one's transcendental love for Krishna is increased, and one's combined feelings are called reverential devotion. And when this steady reverential devotion increases further, it is called love of Godhead in reverential devotion. Attraction and affection are two prominent symptoms of this stage. In this reverential devotional attitude, Pradyumna never talked to his father in a loud voice. In fact, Pradyumna never so much as unlocked the lips of his mouth, nor did Pradyumna ever show his face filled with tears. For Pradyumna would always glance only at the lotus feet of his father, Krishna. And there is another example of steady and fixed love for Krishna in the instance of Arjuna's informing Krishna of the death of Arjuna's son Abhimanyu, who was also the nephew of Krishna. Abhimanyu was the son of Subhadra, Krishna's younger sister. Abhimanyu was killed at the battle of Kurukshetra by the combined efforts of all the commanders in King Duryodhana's army, namely Karna, Ashwatthama, Jayadratha, Bhishma, Kripa Acharya, and Drona Acharya. And in order to assure Krishna that there was no change of love on Subhadra's part, Arjuna informed Krishna, "Although Abhimanyu was killed almost in your presence, Subhadra's love for you is not at all agitated, nor has her love even slightly changed from its original color." The affection that Krishna has for his devotees was expressed by Krishna when he asked Pradyumna not to feel so bashful before him. Krishna addressed Pradyumna, "My dear boy, just give up your feeling of inferiority and do not hang your neck. Just talk with me in a clear voice and do not shed tears. You may look straight at me, and you may place your hands on my body without any hesitation, for there is no need of exhibiting so much reverence before your own father." Pradyumna's attachment for Krishna was always exhibited by his action. Whenever Pradyumna was ordered by his father to execute something, Pradyumna would immediately execute that order, taking the task as nectarian, even though it may have been poison. Similarly, whenever Pradyumna would find something to be disapproved by his father, Pradyumna would immediately reject it as poison, even though it may have been nectarine. Pradyumna's attachment and anxiety for Krishna was expressed when Pradyumna said to his wife Mayavati, "This enemy, Shambhara, is already killed. Now I am very anxious to see my father, who is also my spiritual master and who always carries the conch shell known as Panchajanya." Pradyumna felt great separation from Krishna when he was absent from Dwaraka, being at the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So Pradyumna said, "Since my father has left Dwaraka, I do not take much pleasure in practicing fighting, nor am I interested in any kind of sporting pastimes. And what need is there to speak of these things? I do not even wish to stay at Dwaraka in the absence of my father, Krishna." When Pradyumna came back home after killing Shambhara Asura and he saw his father Krishna before him, Pradyumna at once became so overjoyed that Pradyumna himself could not understand his joy on that occasion. This is an instance of success in separation. And a similar satisfaction was observed when Krishna returned from the battlefield of Kurukshetra to his home at Dwaraka. All of his sons were so overjoyed that out of ecstasy, they repeatedly made many mistakes. These mistakes were a sign of complete satisfaction. Every day, Pradyumna looked over Krishna's lotus feet with tears in his eyes. These signs of reverential devotion on the part of Pradyumna may be described in the same way that they have been described in the cases of other devotees. Thus ends chapter 40 of Nectar of Devotion, entitled Reverential Devotion of Sons and Other Subordinates, recorded April 9, 2021 by Nirantara Dasa. All glories to the author, the ISKCON founder Acharya A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Om Tat Sat.